Welcome, Eagles fans, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. As always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show alongside my co-host, Gino Camilleri. Gino, what's up, brother? Welcome back into the show. We're starting off episode number one this week. I'm glad we started this right now because while I was waiting, I was starting to get impulsive and start doing some Eagle shopping. Almost threw like $200 on a replica helmet with a black visor on it. So thank God we started this now and I did not make a bad purchase.
I know, man. I always get in these sprees where I'm like, right when football time starts, yeah. I go on to all the sites. Like, I'm not going to give any free ads, but everybody knows them. And you go on there, they got their 30% offs. And I'm looking at Oregon gear and I'm looking at Eagles gear. And it's nice to go back to the Eagles Super Bowl gear because they always put it on sale before the season starts. Right. And no, I feel you there, but it's good, man. It's crazy that tomorrow is July and we are so close to football. It just feels insane with everything that has gone on. And I've been watching a lot of film for a side venture that I'm doing, and I'm excited, man. Like, I can't wait for it to be back. I really think it's going to bring a lot of us together when we so badly need it. And I feel like we've never slowed down, Lou. Like, I feel like this offseason has just kind of been, like, full steam ahead because there are big expectations going into this year for this team.
Yeah, there definitely are. And one of the main reasons, Gino, is the main reason, one of the two main reasons this team has had high expectations since 2017 when they won the Super Bowl. And it's their quarterback, of course, Carson Wentz. And it's their head coach, Doug Peterson. And that's who we're going to talk about today, Gino, because once again, and this has been going on since he was first hired back in 2016. Doug Peterson continues to get disrespected when it comes to the national media, when it comes to fans of the Eagles at first, and then really just bored now in 2020. CBS Sports has been doing their like top 10 lists over the past month about, you know, top 10 quarterbacks, each position doing the list of the best players in the NFL right now. And then yesterday, they came out with their top 10 head coaches list. And of the top 10, Doug Peterson was ninth. And while this is wrong and I think laughable, it shouldn't really be a surprise because, once again, since Doug was hired, he's been overlooked. I mean, it really is perfect that they won the Super Bowl the way they did as underdogs because their head coach is an underdog. I mean, again, disrespected since he was hired. He got called the least qualified head coach of any in the NFL by Michael Lombardi.
By
some clown named Michael Lombardi. After just 1 year, and since then, I don't know, man, I think he's been a top five head coach in the NFL. So it doesn't surprise me that they put him ninth on the list, but it definitely is wrong.
To me, Lou, I kind of look at everybody else's opinion of the Philadelphia Eagles, and to me, I feel like they just get disrespected a lot for no reason.
Right.
Like, what has Doug Peterson ever done to get disrespect? What has Carson Wentz ever done to get disrespect? Like, people make Twitter accounts strictly to bash Carson Wentz when there are probably...
Do you think they do it because they know...
I think it's jealousy.
Yeah, I think that's definitely
part of it. I think a lot of it's jealousy.
I mean, and the Eagles have been one of the best teams in the NFL over the last 15 years, really in the 21st century. But I also think, Gino, a reason for this is because they know Philadelphia is such a passionate market when it comes to football. They're reactionary, and if they say stuff like that, they can get clicks.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why you kind of have to take a step back and contextualize everything. We always like to talk about this and look at what Howie and Doug and this collective unit has done since 2016 and sort of this rebirth slash reorganization that occurred after Chip Kelly departed.
Right.
I mean, you're one season away and only a couple wins away from not having a losing season under Doug Peterson, from a situation where you trade your starting quarterback 8 days before the season starts, and you bring out a rookie Carson Wentz with absolute nobody's at wide receiver and gets off to a 3-0 start and builds on that momentum to go into 2017, where they just had everything came together, got lightning in a bottle, and they had the quarterback gurus with Frank Reich and DeFilippo and Carson Wentz there, and all of them really graced over Carson and allowed him to grow and just had this perfect roster that they compiled in 2017. And then even when things went awry in 2018 and 2019, the team that just sticks together always comes out on top. And I think that's what the Eagles have done, man. They have just been the Philadelphia Eagles. They've never strayed away from who they are. They're a team that is going to win with defense. They're going to win with collective minds on offense, and they're going to win with some Coyones at the play calling position. And Doug Peterson has really done that the last couple years. And to me, you look at it from people inside the league and like people that I talk to that are well respected, like our friend Zach Mora over the Cap, who wrote Caponomics. Mm-hmm. He talks about how great the Eagles are as a front office, and he puts them right up there with New England. And those are the people that understand it, that analytical thinking. Like, yes, the Doug Peterson signing wasn't flashy, but which one of the coaches from that class is still there?
Well, thank God Doug Peterson didn't hire McAdoo or exactly. I mean, I like Sean McDermott. Honestly, I think he's done a great job in Buffalo, but I don't want a defensive minded head coach. So, and who else was there? I mean, who else was even considered at the time? I know it was, Adam Gase was like a top candidate. No way in hell. Love I mean, Gase. That's really Chip Kelly 2.0. So yeah, I think again, this is just, I know, par for the course with Doug Peterson. And like you said, with this Philadelphia Eagles team, whether it's just to garner reactions, I don't know if this is like genuine opinions of the national media and fans, like you said, that are creating these burner accounts or, you know, whatever it is. But I think it is laughable. And again, here was the top 10 list. We'll continue to get into it. We got to hit one quick break. But before we do, per Sean Wagner Magoo of CBS Sports.
What's his name?
Sean Wagner Magoo? Magow?
It's no Maybe? Way that's his name.
It's got to be Magow, probably. I don't... but anyway, right. here's the top 10. It was Bill Belichick, number one. No arguments there. Andy Reid, two. John Harbaugh, three. Sean Payton, four. Kyle Shanahan, five. So, I mean, the top five, like, that's I think fair. You could argue Doug Peterson over maybe Harbaugh. Maybe even, I would say, over the last 3 years, over Sean Payton.
I'd say Harbaugh
Kyle Shanahan.
Just because of his tenure. I mean, what right. is he, the second longest tenured head coach in NFL right now?
So then, okay, and then here's what, and we'll get into it in segment two, so hold up. But number six, this is the big debate. You know, it's Wentz and Dak, but it's also Doug Peterson versus Sean McVay, who comes in at number six. Mike Tomlin at seven, Pete Carroll eight, Doug Peterson nine, and then Mike Zimmer rounds out the top 10 at number 10. So neither one of us agree with that. We'll continue to get into why coming up next right here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. And guys, the Lockdown Podcast Network stands against racism and social injustice. That's why we, the hosts, are making personal donations to local and national organizations that are fighting for change. And in the month of June, Lockdown is matching the total of all host donations up to an additional $10,000. To make your own donation along with us, please visit lockdownpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Again, that's lockdownpodcast.com/Black Lives Matter. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri joining you in this Tuesday edition of the show. We'll be right back. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase here alongside Gino Camilleri. We're defending our head coach today, Doug Peterson, who continues to get disrespected by the national media, by fans. He was ranked in this CBS Sports Top 10 head coaches list at number 9, behind a lot of guys that I think he should not be behind, Gino. And again, this is a coach that has been disrespected since 2016 when he got hired. Again, a clown named Michael Lombardi said he was the least qualified coach after the 2016 season. And after that, Peterson won a Super Bowl in his second season with a backup quarterback and a ton of key injuries to a top team, by the way. Before that was a top team in the NFL. Then he blows out the number one ranked defense in the NFC title game. Then he puts up a 41 burger on the best defensive mind ever in the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. And yet you have a guy like Sean McVay, who's ranked sixth on the list. That's three spots ahead of Doug. And Doug has, by the way, beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl with offensive production. McVay could not do that the year later. And by the way, Doug Peterson beat McVay both times in 2017 and in 2018. So to put this between Doug and McVay, I don't know why McVay continues to get the advantage over Peterson. I mean, I think Peterson's the better coach. He's beaten McVay. He's done what McVay can't do on the biggest stage. And he's done it with injuries that McVay has not had to deal with. So I don't get it, man. Maybe it's just the flashiness of McVay. It's that he's young and he's the next up-and-comer, he's only in his 30s. I don't know what it is, but the infatuation with McVay over Doug, it really drives me nuts.
Do you know the last NFC team to win a Super Bowl, Lou?
It's the Philadelphia Eagles.
Do you know what the score of that championship game was? I actually have a flag of it with the score right above where I am sitting right now.
41-33.
And then the next year, there was another game that happened in February between the Patriots and the Rams, and they only scored, what, 3 points in that
it
game,
was,
if I'm not
I think,
mistaken?
Maybe outside of the Panthers-Broncos Super Bowl, one of the most boring I've ever watched. Because
and
Belichick
say,
broke that offense, dude. He broke McVay's offense.
I don't think that defense that the Rams went up against was as good as the defense that the Eagles played the year prior.
Sure,
I solely think that if we would have got there, if Alshon would have caught that ball, we probably would have beat the Rams, and I think
so
we could have beat the Patriots again. I mean, that's one of the great debates that we'll ever have. But to me, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. As the old saying goes, Doug Peterson put up 41 points on a team that doesn't lose in the Super Bowl.
He outdueled the best coach of all, or the best quarterback and coach of all time, who had 500 passing yards. I mean,
yes, Tom Brady had 500 plus passing yards.
You
and
never
they
beat
won
Tom Brady
game.
If he has 500 passing yards. You don't beat anybody at that point normally.
And what did I say when it came to the Philadelphia Eagles, who they were? They were a team that it took a ton of coyotes at the play-calling position. They're going to try and beat you with defense, which it ultimately came down to at the last drive when it mattered. Brandon Graham came up huge, and Doug Peterson calling Philly was arguably the biggest play ever.
Right.
And to me, Doug Peterson, like you said, has done things that a lot – and when I mean a lot of other coaches have not done in the NFL. And that is overcome adversity when things fall apart. And just to compare Sean McVay to Doug Peterson, look at what happens when only a few players on his offense went down. Sean McVay crumbled. I mean, that offense barely got into the Super Bowl. They were sputtering down the stretch. Mm-hmm. The Eagles, when it mattered, when they had to rejuvenate everything, they put in two of the best offensive performances in back-to-back weeks. Well, 2 weeks off between the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you put up that many points against Minnesota in just a thrashing and then go and do it against the Patriots. Man, I mean, that's when it matters.
Without your MVP quarterback. I mean, it just...
Yeah, without your left tackle. You had Big V there.
Without
I mean,
Darren
without
Sproles,
the guys you
too.
What was it? Danelle Ellerbe was on starting on defense for that team. I mean,
what a reference.
Unbelievable. Literally, what a run, man. It's truly unbelievable to look at all the great defenses that have won Super Bowls. Look at the Patriots in the early 2000s. Like, they were all healthy. Like, they had so many Super Bowl, I mean, Pro Bowlers, and we'll talk about future Eagles Pro Bowlers on another show, but that Eagles defense, man, they were battered and bruised and just got beat up at the corner position. And we're not just talking about one game, though. Like, look at 2018 when they had nobody going into that playoff game. And then you start only three out of your five offensive linemen in 2019 and Carson mm-hmm. Wentz goes out. Like, and you still have a chance to beat the Seahawks. What Doug Peterson has done is just truly unbelievable. In the regular season, he has a 38-26 record. I mean, who is doing that outside of Doug Peterson and John Harbaugh and Bill Belichick?
Well, that's
like having continuous winning seasons. And the only losing season he ever had was the rookie season of his quarterback, where they went 7-9, should have beat Baltimore and should have won a few other games that year.
Well, and it was after they lost Lane Johnson too, man. If they don't lose Lane Johnson, I don't know, that team mm-hmm. might, you know, make the playoffs and compete for the NFC East crown. So that's the thing. It's not just the Super Bowl, which is one of the most impressive coaching jobs in NFL history. That was Doug Peterson in 2017. But again, like you mentioned, in 2018, 2019, this guy found a way through catastrophic injuries that no other team comes back from. Mm-hmm. He did it in back-to-back years. He got this team back to the playoffs, you know, to get Foles and that offense hot down the stretch in 2018. They're, you know, 6-7. They have to win their last three games to make the playoffs. They do. Then he goes on the road with this team in Chicago, beats another top-ranked number one defense in the playoffs again. And yet that team's head coach won Coach of the Year again. So he gets gypped in 2017 in favor of Sean McVay. And then in 2018, he gets gypped in favor of Matt Nagy. And yet, like, this
ridiculous.
Is a guy that came just a few plays away from getting, like you said, back to the NFC title game without Carson Wentz again, with Wendell Smallwood and Josh Adams as their starting running backs, right? You look at the defensive side of the football, all of the injuries in the secondary and up front of the defensive line and at linebacker. And then again next year in 2019 with a practice squad group of skill position players, injuries to Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks, Doug and Carson get the offense going with a 4-game win streak to win the NFC East, and they scored 30 points or more in three of their final five games, man. I mean, Sean McVay, even the older guys that are up on that list, Pete Carroll, Harbaugh, when things like that happened, you know, when like Flacco was struggling, you know, for a couple years after that Super Bowl and their team wasn't as good because they had to pay Flacco, they weren't doing what Doug did with what they had to deal with the last 2 years.
I'd say Carroll is probably the closest.
Sure. Yeah. I think, and again, I don't want to like go after Belichick and Reed, Tomlin, those kind of guys, like those kind of coaches, the ones that have been there for a while and won Super Bowls in the past. And, you know, they're just the best minds offensively and defensively in the league. I don't want to disrespect those coaches. It's more so like, you know, specifically with McVay and even like Nagy winning the head coach of the year over Doug in 2018. I don't know. I just, there's not a lot of head coaches that have elevated their team like Doug has over the last 3 years. And it's harder to do that as a coach. You know, we talk about all the time how Carson Wentz elevates this team when things go awry. When it comes to skill position players, when it comes to injuries, but Doug does that as a coach. And that, Gino, like that doesn't happen often, especially for what he's had to deal with.
Absolutely. I look at Doug and I think there are like 5 stretches in his coaching tenure that have been like truly remarkable, in my opinion. And I think that first 3-0 stretch in 2016 was fantastic. Yeah. 2017, when they just went on that almost winless streak for Carson's like 13 games there, I thought that
Carson's
was insane.
Carson's barely playing the fourth quarter because they're just blowing teams out. Yeah,
exactly. Then the Super Bowl run, of course, and then the stretch run of 2018, and then the stretch run of 2019. And to me, I think the most, arguably the most respectable stretch was either that 2016 early season stretch or that 2019 stretch. And simply because in 2017 and 2018, I think 2018, you had a lot of like, you could replicate a lot of the things you did in 2017 that went right. And you kind of had like this mold in 2017. Like you had a lot of very good players on that team. 2016 and 2019, you were kind of down to bare bones at a lot of those different positions. And especially early in the season in 2016, Carson had 8 days to really figure it out with the ones. He wasn't getting first team reps.
And the ones, and by the way, were Doriel Green Beckham, Josh Huff, Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, and that offense looked pretty well for nearly 4 games. Three games in 58 minutes until Ryan Matthews decided not to put the ball in his right hand. But and then in 2019, the same thing, like you're down to practice squad players, and Carson in those 2 stretches with the help of Doug Peterson really elevated those squads. And to me, those were truly the most remarkable of the 2 runs, in my opinion. And I think Doug, he just puts the icing on the cake with the other ones when things go right. Like we haven't seen Doug have a healthy team in nearly 3 years now. Like if he has everything going right for him, man, oh man, that would,
he's never had a season where he's not lost like a key, especially because I want to focus mostly on offense because, like, you know, he's your play caller. He's your offensive mind. Every single year he's been the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Gino, he's had to deal with losing a core piece of that offense.
Totally, man. I mean, he's lost Darren Sproles a couple times. He loved having Sproles in that offense. I mean, he had no wide receivers his first year.
Or last year, right?
Yeah, I mean, they were throwing Bryce Treggs out there for a while. He's just, he didn't have anybody.
Turner got a little time in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he's lost offensive line. He's lost running backs.
He's lost his quarterback two straight years.
Lost his quarterback. It's seriously
And Gino, don't forget,
how much
too,
he has changed in that time period that he's adapted to.
And he's also lost, let's talk about in 2017, he had an incredible offensive coaching staff. John DeFilippo, Frank Reich. You know, he had, of course, still, you know, he had Press Taylor and, you know, Groh was still there. But, you know, Stoutland, Deuce Staley, like he had a stable of offensive coaches supporting him. And he lost a lot of those guys the following year. And that made, you know, Mike Groh have to step up and Press Taylor and guys like Carson Walsh. And they didn't replicate nearly the performance of Flip and Frank Reich. And so Doug kind of had to do it on his own. And you saw still the offense get hot down the stretch in back-to-back years.
Totally, man, and that's the thing, is like he had everything in 2017. Like you said, he had the minds, he had the players, everything's going right. In 2018, he kind of had a lot of what he built off of in 2017, I felt. And then 2019, it's like teams were adapted to what Philly did. And they had to go out there and really elevate their game with a lot of different mentalities. I mean, they had to go out there with a Boston Scott and Deontay Burnett, and
they're running really 21 and 22 personnel for a month
with Matt Pryor and Big.
They look
B
like the Iowa-led offense, you know?
Yeah, seriously. And to me, it all stems from Doug. And the main constants in football when teams are run well are the GM, your head coach, and your quarterback. Look at the Patriots. Look at Steelers. And, I mean, look at the Ravens now on their second quarterback stretch, but and now their second GM, but still, you see that they have this base and this core that all aligns, and that's how you're successful in football, and that's how you're successful in other sports. And I'm seriously glad as all heck that we have Howie and Doug and Carson, and all of them at the time might not have been the splashy moves, but they were the smart moves, and they align with what Jeffrey Lurie likes to do and what his mentality is, that he's a player's coach, but at the same time he holds people accountable, and that's Doug Peterson's, that's his MO. I mean, when he talks at the end of games and they put those minute and a half clips out on Twitter, you could see the players just like their emotion listening to him. You see times when coaches are talking and players are just disinterested.
Oh yeah,
I don't think
sure.
Doug has ever for once not had the trust of his players. I think he's always had the trust of his players. They believe in what he does. I mean, look at the Super Bowl, man. Like, Nick Foles went over to Doug and said, let's run a play that has never been run in a Super Bowl. In the most important, arguably, the play of the Super Bowl.
Chip Kelly would have cut him on the spot.
Yeah, I know, seriously. And they succeeded, and that's what it comes down to. And I'm glad that Jeffrey ended up with Doug, and Doug ended up with Carson, and Howie, and everybody kind of came together. And I'm really excited for the second generation of offensive minds with Scangarello coming in there. I truly believe that this season is going to be a lot like 17.
Yeah, it should be interesting with, you know, Scangarello, like you said, Marty Morningweg, Press Taylor getting a promotion, and Doug, and, you know, a much more talented offense. You know, you can deal with what you've had to in 2018 and 2019 when you have a Carson Wentz and a Doug, as long as you have, to me, like, your big three, Howie Roseman, Doug Peterson, and Carson Wentz, you're always going to be competitive. And I'm really, like you said, man, I'm rooting for him to finally, those guys to just finally have everything work for them. Like, just everything fall in the cards the right way again, like in 2017. And I hope that happens in 2020. Me and Gino got to hit another break right here on Locked On Eagles. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of the show, defending Doug Peterson, who was ranked by CBS Sports as the 9th best head coach in football. Both me and Gino think that's ludicrous, and we'll continue to get into that coming up next. Today's Locked On Eagles, by the way, sponsored by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write down Locked on their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, wrapping up in segment 3. Louis DiBiase here alongside Gino Camilleri, defending Eagles head coach Doug Peterson, who is ranked number 9 on the top 10 head coaches list by CBS Sports. I think he's definitely in the top 5, Gino. And again, this is a coach that's had to deal with more adversity than any the last 3 years, and yet he is one of 4 head coaches to lead his team to the playoffs in the last 3 seasons. He's one of the league's best play callers, in-game adjusters, and innovators. I mean, Gino, like you said, I mean, this is, to me, the most aggressive head coach in the game, the most aggressive offensive mind. He's forward-thinking with analytics, too, which I love. This is a guy, since 2016, he has the most fourth-down attempts in the league. He's gone for it on fourth down more than any head coach. Also, the most two-point conversion attempts and conversions. And he's such a clutch coach because of that. Like, he doesn't turtle in big moments. Like, so many, I mean, look at Doug Marone, in the 2017 AFC title. The Jaguars, they're up, what, two scores in the second half, if I remember correctly, against the New England Patriots on the road, and they turtled. Like, they ran out of creative offensive plays, and they got scared, and they just kept running basic conservative stuff, and Tom Brady took over in that game. Like, that's not Doug Peterson. You see in the Super Bowl, I mean, fourth and one, they're down by one in the second half, down, what, 33-32, and, or I'm sorry, I think it was a It was only a couple points. And Foles hits Zach Ertz, fourth and one. Like, if they miss that, it's over. A lot of other coaches, the majority of coaches, punt there. Fourth and goal, like you said in the Super Bowl, we talked about the Philly special. And that was recommended by a player. And then the next year in Chicago, fourth and goal with the game on the line, like, I think it was under a minute left, or under 2 minutes left, he calls the right play, Foles hits Golden Tate, and they win that football game. I mean, this is the most, to me, one of the most clutch, aggressive, innovative head coaches in the league and offensive minds.
So I was just doing a quick Google search here, and I pulled up an article on USA Today by Chris Chase. It was published January 19th, 2016, and it goes through the 2016 NFL head coaching hires, and it ranks them from 1 to 7. I will go from 1 through 7 on this list, and it is quite entertaining.
Yeah, let's do it.
Number 1, San Francisco 49ers Chip Kelly. Was ranked as the best head coaching hire of the offseason. Number 2 was Ben McAdoo for the New York Giants.
Good Lord.
Number 3 was Hugh Jackson of the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, that's right. I remember Hugh Jackson was available.
Yep. Good. Number 4 God. Was Dirk Cutter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Wow.
Number 5
that class
was Adam
Holy
Gase
God.
For the Miami Dolphins. Number 6 was Mike Mularkey. And number 7 was Doug Peterson. And he said, I want to read everything he said because, man, oh man, this is bad. From the failed annals of don't fire for the sake of firing, we have the Philadelphia Eagles, who, unhappy with all the power they bestowed on Chip Kelly, were forced to fire a promising coach because, like parent who gives a 9-year-old the keys to the car, then gets mad when the 9-year-old crashes, they couldn't take back that power and just let Kelly do what he does best. So what did Jeffrey Lurie have in mind when he sought out to fire Kelly's replacement? Well, to find Kelly's replacement, rather. Well, he had to be a football coach. And knowing the game was a definite plus, and I guess just wanting to come to Philadelphia to sign a contract was pretty much the main prerequisite. That's how you end up with the blurg hire of Doug Peterson.
Woof.
And it continues to go on. Woof is right, man. Look at that 2016 class and tell me who would you would
hey,
want
man,
off
you don't,
that
you,
list
you didn't
other
want
than
the,
Doug Peterson.
You didn't want the Mike Mularkey exotic smash mouth in Philadelphia?
Unbelievable. And hindsight always is 2020. I didn't think Doug Peterson was the best coaching hire at that time, but I also didn't think he was the seventh best.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I wasn't like through the roof. I wasn't like ecstatic about the hire, but I also
but
didn't
look where
think
he came
a,
from, man. Right. He came from Andy Reid's style
which is why
of football,
I was
which
yeah, that's why
has
I was
always been
yeah.
ingrained in Philadelphia. And I think Lurie always had that in the back of his mind with how he kind of wanted to build a team and how he was here during that towards the tail end of that regime as well. And he saw that that's how you build a team. And Doug Peterson kind of, he was the perfect X's and O's guy who needs a little bit of help on the outside, who got the right coaching hires, and I think he has another good set of coaching hires with the interpersonal ability to connect with players and the ability to run this exotic West Coast style offense, which fits his quarterback and fits his mentality of pushing the ball down the field. And man, who's going to want to mess with a healthy Philadelphia Eagles team this year with four burners who can rub sub 4-3, Carson Wentz, who Colin Cowherd on his arm ranking thing, whatever he put out the other day saying that Carson Wentz isn't even in the top five.
Another troll
job. Banana land. Which he was the quarterback last year who threw the longest in air touchdown in week one. I mean, Doug Peterson has everything going right for him this year. And to look at what he had to deal with the past 2.5 seasons, I don't want to be standing across the field when Doug Peterson has things going right
well,
for
and
him.
Well, and Gino, by the way, I mean, we can't even forget he's starting off 2020 again with one hand tied behind his back because he lost his best offensive lineman. I mean, Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles. This guy can't catch a break.
Here we go again, but I truly believe.
I hope that's the only one we have to deal with this year.
Yeah, let's hope, man. Fingers crossed. It's time for another team to face the wrath of the injury bug. But
seriously.
But to me, you have built this team in succession of how you want, how how he wants it, how Doug wants it, how Carson wants it. Like, I think everything's in line, and they've never swayed away from this message of what Doug Peterson kind of pushes, and, like, they're going to let their players go out there and do what they do best. Like, they know Carson loves to sling the football, so what did they do? They went out and got five guys that can run 4-3. Like, yep. I mean, there's not been one thing that they say they're going to do outside of Doug Peterson kind of being slighted by the front office a few times when he goes out there and has to say things in regards to injury. But outside of that, on the field, off the field, what can you say bad about Doug Peterson?
Well, and I think the only reason, by the way, that he was – I don't know. I think a lot of people overreacted to, as they normally do. Doug, in 2016, when he started off talking to the media through press conferences, wasn't good at it, wasn't comfortable with it. But to me, like, that never mattered. But I think that mattered to, you know, national media members who weren't really looking into the actual on-field coaching job Doug was doing and the relationships and the trust that he was forming inside the locker room. I think people just saw him talk at the podium, and they're like, and I think maybe that's why Michael Lombardi's like, this guy is not qualified. So to me, I don't, you know, since the minute he got hired, all Doug has done has overcome adversity and elevate this team's performance inside, you know, on the field and off the field inside the locker room. So is he number 9 when it comes to NFL head coaches right now? No way. Is he top 2? I don't know. It'd be hard to put him over Bill Belichick or Andy Reid, but I think I can make the argument. Yes, of course, when it comes to, you know, their entire career resume, John Harbaugh, Sean Payton should probably be ahead of him. But when we're talking about, like, the last 3 years, Doug Peterson is definitely a top 5 head coach. I'd put him over Kyle Shanahan. Maybe they're right at 5. I'd even make the argument he should be ahead of Harbaugh and Sean Payton. So this is at least a top 5 head coach in football right now, and you can make the argument he's top 3.
I'd say top 5 for sure. It's tough to, with his body of work, to argue against that. And I don't want to get too overzealous and say he's the best coach in the NFL. There's way.
Like, I don't,
sure.
I'm not putting him over Belichick. I won't even put him over Reed.
No, but...
but after that, I mean, it's fair game, man. I think he's right there with Harbaugh, Peyton, and I think he's ahead of... Kyle Shanahan's kind of like your new Sean McVay. Doug's the one with the ring, so...
Absolutely. You got to go off body at work at the NFL, man. Like, that's what speaks. Like, I mean, yeah, you can make the same argument for Eli Manning not being in the Hall of Fame because of his numbers, but he did win 2 Super Bowls, so it's tough. But Doug Peterson, to me, in regards to a coach, like, the way I look at it in my life when I want to, like, go into a new career, I look at what people say about, like, the managers. So when you look at a coaching staff, like, that's who manages the team, is the coach. And look at how people respond to Doug Peterson. Look at how people interact with Doug Peterson. He gets the respect. He's a respected NFL coach. He respects his players. He allows his players to not just be football players. He allows them to be people. I mean, look at what he let Malcolm Jenkins do. I mean, not that he let Malcolm Jenkins do anything, but, like, look at what he allows his players to do with no backlash. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Jerry Jones and his whole organization with the whole knee thing, like, no players could kneel for the national anthem. Doug, he lets his guys do what they want, and he allows them to be human beings, which I think is the best part of who Doug Peterson is. He's just an awesome guy, and really what it comes down to is him empowering his players to be successful.
He, you know, culture is important, but a predetermined culture, to me, is the wrong way to go, and I think that's what Chip Kelly had, and he tried to mold players around that, whereas what I love about Doug is that he has that emotional intelligence. He knows that you can't have just one way of thinking, because each locker room every single year is different. There's different personalities. You can't coach everybody the same way, and you can't have the culture be the same every single year. He lets his players determine the culture, and because he instills that trust in them, they want to make sure they don't let him down on the field and off the field. And I think that's why you've been able to see this team, when they have more injuries to key positions and key players of any NFL team the last 3 years, they're still able down the stretch, even at 5-7, 6-7, to do the impossible and win out, win the division, sneak into the wild card. They do it. And I think that has so much to do with their head coach, Doug Peterson. That's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's edition of the show. Tomorrow, Gino's been hinting at the Hall of Fame a little bit today. Tomorrow, we're going to get into current Eagles and future Eagles that are potentially up next to be enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. So me and Gino will get into that tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it, we're available, as well as LockedOnEagles.com. And we're always talking Birds on Twitter after the show, at DiBiase, L-O-E, and at Gino_L-O-E. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.